Thanks for joining us and listening to this sermon from Pompey Community Church. Our desire is that you can hear the Word of God and the Gospel preached wherever you are right now. We pray that this message will lift you up and help you on your journey as you grow closer and closer to Christ.
Well, good morning, PCC. We feel so blessed to be here, and we want you to know that even as we pray this morning, thanking the Lord for His provision here, we want you to know that on our end, as we were in Memphis, Tennessee, before we ever even heard of Pompey Community Church, that we knew the Lord would continue to provide for us as a family. And I mean provide specifically in the sense of providing us a place where we can grow roots and settle in as partners in gospel ministry with a church family. And so even on our end this morning as a family, what we're doing this morning is praising the Lord for His provision in giving us you. And it's been such a blessing to be here for 2 weeks now and to already feel as if we've known you for years. And so we just wanted to tell you that this morning and thank you for all you've done and tell you that we look forward to getting to know you even more. And so this morning we have the privilege of introducing someone very special to you, who has been a major part of our lives. So Pastor Dustin May will share the sermon in just a moment. But Dustin was our youth pastor, or one of our youth pastors, as we were in high school. We met when we were in middle school, high school, and it was in the youth ministry of Central Church, the church that we came from. And Dustin was one of the youth pastors. And so our lives were in large part shaped by the way that the Lord used him to disciple us, challenge us, reaching us with the gospel, and then continuing to invest in us as we grew. He's the one who brought me on staff at Central Church to serve with students, trained me there. He's the one who helped even send us off to the mission field. And so we're introducing somebody to you who has played a large role in forming us into the people that we are, in crafting within us a heart and a desire. The Lord did it, but the Lord used Dustin to create a heart and a desire in us for the Lord and to serve Him. And so I want to introduce him and his wife to you this morning. His wife, Mary Jane, is with him as well. And so we're going to pray for him as he opens the Word. So you can go ahead and come up. Father, we thank you so much this morning, again, for your provision on all sides. And Father, we thank you for Dustin and Mary Jane, and even specifically what this moment means. And Father, thinking specifically of the way you used him, Father, to reach us with the gospel, and the way you were able to break through and transform our lives through his obedient surrender to you and following your Spirit. And so, Father, we thank you for that this morning, and we celebrate all that you do. And Father, we pray that even as we open your Word this morning, God, that you'd speak through Dustin, and that, Father, for each of us here at Pompey Community Church, Father, you would, Father, you'd challenge us with your Word. Father, you would grow our affections for your Son, but God, that you would also cause us to recognize our ability to rely on your Holy Spirit, which leads us, which indwells us, the very same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead, that indwells us as followers of your Son. And so, Father, we pray, God, would you do that this morning as Dustin opens your Word? We thank you for all we know you'll do, and we pray this in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, church. If you will, you can open up to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to be reading out of the New International Version, the NIV, Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll probably camp out for just a minute in verses 1 through 16, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. It's good to see your faces and to think about what today would be like, the opportunity to have conversations with some of you, particularly on the search team, about the process that you've been through. And I've kind of reflected on this moment. I've had different pictures of y'all's lives apart, you know, your lives together, your families, the relationships that have been built. And as I think about today, there's a part of me that, before we even want to get to this text, wants to remind all of us. There's a lot of slick marketing strategies. There's a lot of cool universities. There's a lot of cool things that can happen. But today, we don't come because there's going to be great pies and great chili cook-offs. We find ourselves here today because we really truly believe that Jesus came back from the dead. There's something about us today that when we gather, we need to remind ourselves of the gospel. that Jesus, in light of John 14, 6, Jesus Christ, God's Son, is truly who He says He is. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And maybe some of your own stories, this thing called the church, the body of Christ, is something that you are intimately involved in. And maybe you're a new guest here. But my prayer would be that all of us, our faith, would rise just a little bit. Hebrews reminds us that it's without faith, it's impossible to please God, because those who come to Him must first believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. And here's the cool thing. Even before we meet today in Pompey area, there are people that have met around the globe today. Some have met around trees. They've met around in the bush. They've met in cinder block buildings because they truly believe that Jesus is who He says He is. And so today, might you be encouraged that there is a true, real, powerful God that still exists, that is aware of your circumstance, the things that you feel like that you're lacking in, or the physical needs that you have, the things that you're praying breakthrough over your family today. That's why we meet here today, because God is real. And so as I think about this gathering of things that are happening globally, I want to tell you, and I think you couched it well, our relationship. What an honor it is to be here with you, to be here with your family, to have loved on your family, and to walk through this journey with each of you. When I think about today, one of the things that's come to mind, and I remember a conversation that we particularly had, is this couple, this family has been loved well. And I don't say that for my sake. I don't mean that about me. I mean the people, the community that they have chosen by their parents' choice initially, and how you have continued to walk that out. You've been discipled well. You have been loved well. You have been put in a community that is for you. And so as I have the honor to teach today and give this charge to you, there have also been people that have poured into me, that have poured into you, and I asked them to share a few things. These are people that, these names probably don't mean anything to you, but I assure you, they mean the world to them. And so I wanted to share these. One is a girl named Whitney Clay. She's in ministry in the Memphis area at a church called Mission Church. She said, "I'm grateful to know you, both of you, and have served alongside you, John Andrew, in particular, for the sake of the gospel. You are a man of integrity, who loves Jesus, who serves his family and faithfully preaches and teaches the word of God. I have no doubt that you will serve this congregation, this body well, praying that you would rely on his strength alone and do this." And she's super excited to see how God will use you and your boys as well. And what you can't see right now is the emotion. And when I say that, it's okay. There's this magnitude of weight that comes into this moment. And so feel it. Because I think what that testifies to is the power of God in your life. He hadn't left you. He's never forsaken you, and He will not do that moving into this in the future. Josh Ramsey, who is by far my best friend in life, he's a pastor in Montana. He said, "I'm very excited for you and your family and this very church. I testify to knowing both of you as people who love the Lord and love His bride. I also highly admire your character and integrity as you seek to pursue the mission Jesus left each of us to disciple all people, all tribes, all tongues of all nations. I'm excited to see how you and this church will carry out this great commandment, the Great Commission." Don Gilbert, a mentor of mine who discipled me very intimately, and the opportunity for y'all to do ministry with him as well. Don is a missionary in a local community called Orange Mound, a very underserved community in Memphis, and was our missions pastor at Central Church for some time. Don said, "I've known John Andrew and Christy since junior high. John Andrew has matured into a young man that always loved the Lord. He has a special desire to teach God's word and to look at the deeper truths of Scripture. He's developed a heart for missions at Central and went through our next steps to serve on the field in Ecuador. He has a perspective on global missions that will be a part of his DNA. May you continue to teach the compassion of Christ for the least of these and how the church responds to that call with practical engagement." Miguel Olvera is a missionary in Ecuador that I continue to get to do ministry with, and you intimately got to do ministry with Miguel in Ecuador, in Guayaquil there. I had him share something. John Andrew is a minister sharing his sensitivity of the Lord's leading and guiding, and I'm thankful for his obedient call. He's been faithful to God in his ways of living and doing ministry, particularly in Ecuador in 2009 and now in full-time ministry, particularly with he and his wife in 2014 and 2015. And may it be remiss, Tom Waring. Tom was my boss at a church that we served in and another gentleman that discipled us, that invested in us. Tom's wife recently went to be with the Lord some time ago. And so there is a quote from her in here. He said a few things, but in particular, he said, "You have been a solid young man ever since you moved into the youth group in your early teens. You became not only a student, but one that I love and consider a close friend. You guarded your heart." And if you'll remember, I think that was probably Tom's favorite verse ever, is "above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life." He watched after us, that we would not make dumb decisions. And it can happen. And I say that as a church, love this family well. Help guard their hearts. It's on their responsibility to guard their own hearts, but love them well. Put protections in place for them, that they don't burn out, that they don't get beat up, but that they would be a part of the body that loves Christ. I've watched you grow into a godly man who desires to serve Christ. I love what he says here. "You will do well in that role, and I'm very proud of you. I will add that Betty, his wife, loved you dearly and would always light up when you were around. Thank you for the ministry to her all those years." He left a few verses, Matthew 6:33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Be a God pleaser, you will never be able to be a people pleaser. And Tom writes in close, "In my walk with Jesus, I determined very early that I was incapable of doing or being the things that people wanted me to be, nor the things that I worried over. I realized that I could fight the windmills of life, always searching for that which I could never achieve. But I learned early that if I would relax and seek my Lord first, he would order my steps, care for me, and guide me, knowing that I was pleasing him and nothing else really mattered." These are people that love you. And while they're not here today, this community that has made the trip from the Memphis area, from the Carville area, they love you. And how cool it is to think about kingdom work, right? People loving the Lord in Africa and in the Middle East and in Europe, in the United States of America, and to see these worlds collide today. This is a huge moment. And I think really for me, what this really signifies is God is still working. God is still active. He is moving and he is powerful. And so for me, when I talk about the honor and I think about the legacy of people that have invested y'all, I have this moment, particularly on a trip. We used to take our middle schoolers, which was 6th, 7th, 8th grade, to a camp called Fall Creek Falls. And this is when John Andrew was an intern. I don't remember where y'all were thinking about Tinsley and Anna at this time, but we had this particular middle school camp. So we had 100 some odd kids there. And needless to say, I don't know if it was food poisoning, I don't know if it was just a sickness, but when we looked up, there were about, all in all, about 60 kids that got sick over this trip. And it was one of those, you just thought, God, I pray that you do spiritual things, but get me out of here. It was miserable. And we kind of had this lower camp, and then there were these steps that went up to this higher level where all the buses would pull up. And John Andrew and I were up 2 a.m. doing you don't want to know what. And I remember this moment of John Andrew being lower, and I was up on the top, and I think he was going to get some cleaning stuff. And he looks up to me, and I said, "John Andrew, welcome to ministry." Because there's sometimes no other way to say it other than you just commit to being faithful through service. Because you can't make sense of the moment. And God poured his spirit out over that camp towards those end days. And many, many, many got saved. And you look back and go, man, the kingdom work, the things that we get to be a part of dead people, spiritually speaking, coming alive, is what it's about. And I'm excited about the opportunity for you to lead in this space for such a time as this. I think about Ephesians chapter 4. I want to read this, and I believe that this will be on the screens as well. This is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." And I say this over all of us, but also say this particularly to you, as Paul writes there to those church, receive these words. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. verse 3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to, one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of you, or each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. Verse 9, when does he ascended mean? Except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. Let's pick it up right here. It gets good in verse 11. When I think about this, the point is not to argue or these roles or these offices. But here's what I want you to think about. In the context of the local church, there is this give and take. There is this receive. There's this unity. In fact, I believe that it could be said the number one thing that Paul combats in the Gospels is talking about church unity. Because watch out. The church is very sneaky in the sense of allowing divisiveness and divides to happen. And it can happen over what the coffee tastes like, family stuff, who knows what. Do you know that Satan loves to bring division amongst you, amongst us? And so what he talks about is this group being unified. And so he challenges and talks about what does this look like. He says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Why? To equip his people for what? Works of service. Church, let me say this. The point of this church is that we would gather today so that then you would scatter the rest of the time. You would gather today so that you would scatter. Gather, scatter, gather, scatter. Sometimes we just like to gather. We don't like to scatter. My prayer in light of the New Testament would be that you would be salt and light everywhere you go. And so that's what today is about. Remind ourselves of the gospel, being encouraged, and then get ready to go into the mission field, wherever you go. Into your jobs, into your homes, into your neighborhoods, into restaurants, to be salt and light. To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I think I want to pause there for right now. In 2020, God kind of did some reshaping in my own mind. If you remember, 2020 is when COVID happened and his church as we knew it ceased to exist. In fact, many places said, hey, you can't gather together. And in fact, many churches were divided of, is it a mask thing? Is it a non-mask thing? Do we have enough hand sanitizer? What do we do? Do we stay in a room? What do you do? There was just a weird season, right? And I don't know how you all handled it, but it was tricky. And I kept wrestling through in my mind, Scripture says, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against the church. Is what Scripture says. And yet, in America, the church as we knew it ceased to exist, frankly. And I don't know, when I read this passage, there was something that just made me begin to kind of wrestle with it, and I continue to wrestle with it today. Because in so many different ways, we just do church to check the box. We do church because that's how we've always done it. But there is a burning passion in my own heart and my own desire to read Scripture and to see it happen today. And God still does that. And so when you read this passage in light of verse 11, 12, 13, there's this picture of the body of people who have gathered together because they have put their faith in Jesus Christ. They are the saved ones. And Scripture says that they are the children of God. They are in Christ. And in light of that, there's this teamwork where God has given each one of you gifts to edify, to build up the body. And yet God has put spiritual leaders in your life to build up the body, to equip, to challenge, to exhort, that we all get to do this thing called ministry. We are all called to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and body. We're all called to love our neighbor as ourselves. We are all called to fulfill the Great Commission, not just John Andrew. We are all called to make disciples. And yet if you read this text, what it talks about is you have an opportunity to equip, to build up, to challenge, to exhort, to spur on. In America, there's this tension that exists right now. We have this thing called the church, but we also like a very efficient, cohesive business model. And I'm not here to argue, do we do church because it's business? Is it business because it's church? But I will say, be careful about stepping into this pulpit. Be careful about stepping into this role as if you are a CEO of a company. Because a CEO says, hey, let me go all the way up the ladder and be at this place as the CEO and wall myself up in my office and have this cool window and have a bunch of gadgets and put a marketing plan together and do things the way American business teaches you to do it. This is not American business. It's not. And I'm not saying, by the way, that the things that we can learn are business are bad. Amen to people who know money. Amen to Steve. Where are you, Steve? Is Stephen here, the administrator? You have been phenomenal watching you over the last 12 hours. You do things in decency and order and with excellence. But here's the deal. Jesus didn't bring you here to be the CEO of this church. Jesus brought you here to be the chief servants. Many times, if you think about this pyramid concept of putting the pastor at the top, hello, American churches. We put these people on platforms, expect that they better nail a sermon every week and have the greatest clothes and look good and never make mistakes. And then they fall off the pedestal and we wonder, like, what happened to them? Well, what if we don't do church like that? What if we take the CEO model and do the Jesus thing to look at this as an inverted pyramid? As if you are the one called to be the lowest, to love, to serve, to give, to be the first to put yourself on the lowest to say, this is a calling. I'm not better than anybody in this room. I'm just one who has been saved by grace and have an opportunity to use my gifts to stand on this stage to present the gospel. And so I say that for you. God has gifted you. The word that stands out to me in that passage is the word gentle. You have a gentle heart. You have a gentle spirit. That doesn't mean that Joshua 1 doesn't come true and that you wouldn't lead with strength and courage. You will. But you do it in such a way, I've testified to it, that you are very gentle. I watch you with your kids. I watch both of you. You are a gentle couple. And let that not be a weak term. Let it be a strong term. That you love well, that you care well, that you are patient and kind, and yet you walk in strength and courage in all areas. But I also challenge you with this. Reject apathy. Reject passivity. When you hear the voice of God, move on it. Use it in wisdom. Check it off with people that are trusted to say, God, where are you going? I think for us today, if I insert myself into this body, the point is not what do you want this body to be. The question is, what does God want this body to be? And might you all lead with a yes. God, you tell us to go left in the days ahead, guess what we're going to do? We're going left. You tell us to go right, guess what we're going to do? We're going right. Whatever He says to do, you lead today with a yes. And so, man, I want to tell you, I get fired up about thinking about the things that God is doing in the church. God is saving people. God is redeeming people. God is allowing people to understand their spiritual gifts and to walk in fruitful ministry. Today, as I close this section, I want to charge both of you in a couple of different ways. One is in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 1 through 5. As the writer here says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itchy ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off in myths. Galatians 1 challenges those people at that time to stop living a false gospel, to believe the true gospel. As for you, always be sober-minded, enduring suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. I charge you to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. To love your neighbor as yourself. John Andrew, one of the things that has been an incredible, I use the word asset, I don't mean it as an asset. I think one of the greatest gifts that you have been given is that woman right there. She loves you. She cares for you. She is for you. God sometimes, in a Holy Spirit way, will speak through her. If she's got red flags at certain times, listen to her. Filter it. Listen to her. Be with her. My prayer that God would be blessing your ministry. And even as you disciple here, can I tell you who the people that you really should be looking out for first? Is those kids. You have an opportunity to disciple your boys. I've had particular time over the last 24 hours to spend time with Levi. Both your boys are phenomenal. They're growing. They see things. My dad, my mom, they're watching you. And might they watch you love your mom? Might they watch you love your husband? In some ways, just take a deep breath of fresh air. This is a new season in a new community to love one another with your family. And have your boys watch you as you love Jesus. And I charge you to love and to serve this bride of Christ. In this place and beyond, even as Christ has loved you, open your life. Be vulnerable with them. Share your joys, their burdens, their labors, their faith. I charge you not to forget the trust of those who have chosen you, that have prayed for you, that have believed in you, that are excited about God using you into the future. I charge you to reject passivity and to lead in strength and courage, knowing that you have spent time with the Lord and have His Holy Spirit guiding you. Preach the word in season and out of season. Be the lead servant. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in the Word. Be vulnerable. Walk in humility, teaching and rightly dividing the Word of truth. Wherever God tells you to go, say yes. Follow Him. Today's a huge moment. And I know as we have prayed about this, it's so cool to think about different lunch table talks, different phone conversations, different texts about what this day would be like. A lot of prayers going into today. And so what a cool day that today has come. And it's the beginning of a new ministry. Father, I thank you for today. God, I thank you for your word. God, as we move forward in this service, God, I thank you that we have an opportunity in a fresh way to remind ourselves of the gospel. God, the thing that gives me the greatest hope is that while I love John Andrew and Christy, while I believe in them, the thing that I truly believe is I believe in the power of God in them. God, I pray that they would continue to walk in humility, honor, respect, gentleness, boldness, and courage. God, I pray for this very body, the bride of Christ. Might we all today choose to say yes to you, whatever, however, wherever you tell us to go and to do. We love you, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Dustin. An installation service represents a covenant. And on one side of the covenant is you, John Andrew and Christy. You are covenanting to love this body well. You are covenanting, just as Dustin just preached, to faithfully serve the Lord here in this body. John Andrew, you're covenanting to preach the word faithfully here, to be an equipper of these people, these brothers and sisters in the Lord. And on the other side of that covenant is all of you, those of you who consider Pompey Community Church your home church. And I want to lead you through your part in making that covenant to John Andrew and Christy. If I have three verses that just remind us as the body of Christ of our role, if you were to read those verses, if we could read those together. The first one, if you put it up on the screen, is 1 Corinthians 12:18. Will you read this with me? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. And of course, that's talking about all of you, that He's placed you here, that each of you represent a part in the body, that all of you are needed. That ministry does not just rest on the pastor. The pastor equips everyone to play their part in the body. And then secondly, Hebrews 10:24 and 25. Would you read this with me? And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. If you go on to verse 25, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. And again, a reminder that being part of the body, being led by the shepherd that the chief shepherd has given to you for this season, is to be regularly involved in the body, to be actively encouraging each other, to not neglect regularly coming together and meeting together. And then finally, 1 Peter 4:10, would you read this with me? Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And John Andrew is given to you as the under-shepherd here to help you discover and develop your gifts and to help you deploy you to use your gifts. But your role, what you are covenanting to do, is to serve with those gifts. And then finally, I want to lead you, much like you would in a wedding ceremony, I want to lead you through a vow. And this is a vow you are making before the Lord, but it certainly pertains to receiving your new pastor. So I'm going to read a couple statements. They'll be on the screen. And if you can embrace those, will you, at the end where you see, will you say, "We will"? So the first statement, will you, the body of Pompey Community Church, will you commit to faithfully attend the preaching of the Word of God and corporate worship and receive the Word not as the Word of men, but as what it really is, the Word of God? The next statement, will you commit to give sacrificially of your time, resources, and energies to the work of the church, employing your spiritual gifts for the edification of the church and the exaltation of Jesus Christ? And will you commit to love your pastor, and I'd add, and his wife and family, praying for them rather than complaining about him, honoring him as one who labors in word and doctrine for the good of your soul, and recognizing him as the shepherd God has given you? And will you honor your pastor and follow him as he follows Christ, honoring him as Christ's under-shepherd, ordained by God to keep watch over your souls? And finally, will you commit to lay aside your personal preferences in order to strive for the unity of the church, desiring with all your actions to build up the body of Christ at Pompey Community Church? And finally, will you commit to self-sacrificially and courageously seek the salvation of the lost by every biblical means and labor to spread the gospel to all peoples? Amen. Amen. That is your part of the covenant. This time, it's my pleasure to introduce the man who's going to lead us in the prayer of installation. Pastor Matt Shackelford is the lead pastor of Central Church. John Andrew served on his pastoral team. Pastor Matt, come up and lead us in the prayer of installation.
Amen. Well, good morning to you. Before we pray together, let me just say a couple of words. What a joy to be back with Pastor Dan. What a joy to bring a team with us from Central Church. And I know there are many people from Central Church watching online right now. We have very fond memories of Pastor Dan. We've been saying it this way at Central, though. Pastor Dan gives and he takes away. And that's just the season we're in. We love John Andrew. I mean, that's the bottom line. We love this guy. We love his family. We love Christy more than John Andrew, if I'm being honest. But we love this family. And we are so, so sad to see them go. But our loss is your gain. And from this point forward, we are our brothers and sisters, not just in a universal church sense, but just as churches. We want to support each other. And we want to be partners with you in the gospel. And this is such a neat day. Pastor Dustin, that was a great message, brother. It was so good. It was challenging. And I was watching Pastor John Andrew just across the lobby, and I just saw him smiling ear to ear. And it just brought tears to my eyes, just how happy this day is for you guys, brother. And we're so happy for you. We can't wait to see what God is going to do to use you and use your gifts. We celebrate this day. And, you know, there's a couple things I want you to know just working with John Andrew. One of the most tender-hearted guys I've ever known. He has a tender heart, both for the Lord and for people. He is a lover of people. And he loves to study God's Word. And so at Central, we say it this way. We want to have fat sheep that just sit under the Word of God and are fed well. You will be fed well. Not just in chili today. Yes, in chili today. But also in the Word of God. And we're asking God to use him to feed you well. And we're excited about that. When I was installed at Central Church 4 years ago, over 4 years ago now, my pastor gave me this line, and it's a line we use in our circles to kind of encourage each other, and it's really just two words. It's orders unchanged. Orders unchanged. And what that comes from, if you've ever been to Arlington National Cemetery, there is a changing of the guard, and every single hour the guard changes. Every single hour, the tomb of the unknown soldier is being watched over and guarded. And that's been happening since 1937, every hour, whether it's rain or whether it's snow or whether it's driving winds, that duty has happened on every hour. And so my pastor looked at me and he said, "Matt, all right, you're in the pulpit now, orders unchanged." And he said that with the words that Pastor Dustin just read from 2 Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. And so at this time, we're going to commission John Andrew. I'm going to ask him and his family and the ordination committee to come up, and we are going to pray over him, and we're going to commission him in the name of Jesus Christ. What's needed in this season of decaying, decadent days, deceitful times? We need someone to preach the word. We need someone to man the pulpit, and that's exactly what you are getting. And so we're going to just gather around you guys, brother, and we're going to pray over you. And church family, what I'd love for you to do at this time is just listen to these words, bow your head, close your eyes, pray these words over John Andrew one more time. This is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready, in season and out of season, to reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Church family, let's pray together, and let's ask for God to use Pastor John Andrew. Father, we lift up this brother, we lift up his family, and Father, there's such excitement about the days he's entering into. These are great days. For this church, this is a great day, because someone is coming to preach the word faithfully. Someone is coming to love the congregation sacrificially, to be at the bottom of the pyramid. Father, and I know without a doubt that John Andrew and Christy will be that for this church. Father, he has been faithful at Central Church. He has loved well. He has led sacrificially. Father, he has been a blessing to our church. In times of great instability, John Andrew has been a source of stability at Central Church, and I know he will be that here as well. Father, I pray that we would be a resource to him. Father, I pray that we would be able to support him. I pray that just as people have come up from Tennessee today to be with him on this special day, Lord, we as a church would be standing behind his ministry, that we would be invested in him, Lord, that we would long to see his success. And Father, I pray over the people of this church. May Pompey Community Church desire for their pastor to be successful. In large part, the pastor that you have is the pastor that you make. It's the pastor that you support. And so, Father, I pray that this congregation would support him and love him well. I pray they would, in a sense, get out of his way and let him minister well so that he can lead strong. But, Father, I pray that they would also receive the equipping that he is offering. Father, that This is a body of many different gifts, many different people, and everyone has their place. With Christ as the cornerstone, the apostles and prophets in the foundation, the church is now being built up. And so, Father, we ask that as you build up this church, you would equip and enable John Andrew with discernment and wisdom, that he would be able to know exactly, Father, your plans for this church. And, Father, he would boldly, courageously step out to accomplish those plans. Father, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity. And, Lord, we just acknowledge right now, all of us on stage as pastors or elders, Father, we just acknowledge right now the task is beyond us. The task that is being given to this man, in a sense, it's laughable. You're asking a sheep to do a job of a shepherd. And we're sheep. And we're longing for the true shepherd to come. We're waiting for Jesus. So, Father, we acknowledge that this will only be possible with your enablement and with your equipping. And so, Father, we ask that over this brother right now. Would you divinely equip him and enable him to accomplish all that you have? Father, would you encourage him in the ministry? Would you bring to his family and around him, surround him with people that would encourage his heart in the ministry, because he will have a target on his back as a pastor. We know that Satan hates pastoral ministry. We know that he wants to discourage pastors. He wants them to quit. And so, Father, would you bring men around this brother? Would you bring women around Christy to encourage this ministry family to continue on in faithfulness? Father, we thank you for him. We thank you for the work Pastor Dan has done to prepare this moment. We ask, Lord, that you would return blessing to him and to this congregation. All these things we pray in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and all God's people. Say it together. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you again just for your prayers, and thank you for being here this morning. I've said it a number of times, but it truly has been a blessing for our family to be here. We've sensed that from the beginning. And so we just want to thank you again one more time just for the way that you have received us here. We've been received so warmly, and we want to thank you for that. And just by way of response to this time today, Church, I have to acknowledge to you, if there is anything good I have to offer, it's Christ. That's all. Anything that's not Christ-like, well, those are the areas of my life that the Lord is still beating into Christ's image, as is the case for each one of us. And my prayer for myself, as is the case for each of you, is that we would grow further and deeper into Christ's image. And I want to read just a passage from Philippians this morning, and this is really a teaser, because starting next week, we are going to launch into a sermon series on Philippians. And really the idea here is because if Philippians is about two things, I think it's about God's glory and our joy. And I think the first thing that we see in the book of Philippians is that both of those things come to a perfect intersection in our gospel partnership. We see that starting in Philippians 1:1-11. It says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and the deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It's right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Church, my prayer is that that is what the Lord would do, that the Lord would fill this body with joy as we seek to orient the entirety of our lives around making him known, around glorifying him. That's my prayer. And so we're gonna conclude this time of worship with this service with a worship song, and then the benediction. But I just want to pray before our time of worship. Father, we again thank you for this opportunity to be here in this body. God, this body is a gift to this area of Pompey, a light on a hill. And Father, we pray that it would continue to shine with more brilliance, Father, as your Son is made known. As each of us are growing in our love for him and our affections for him, but also as all those people around in this area, in this community, in this state, this country, and the world who do not yet know him might meet him through our testimony as to who he is and what he's done in our lives. We pray all of this and worship his name, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Please subscribe to our podcast to get all of the PCC sermons and visit us at pompeychurch.org. From everyone here at Pompey Community Church, we hope this sermon blessed you and that you have a great day.